Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Presenting sponsor of today's Paul George Tradeapalooza podcast is SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one ticket aggregating site around. It's your one-stop shop for concerts and sporting events and more. SeatGeek, right this time of year, there's plenty of concerts going on in the Indianapolis area. Get some nice tickets for that. Get it for baseball games in Cincinnati, St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, whatever you're a fan of. You can use SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best. If you use the promo code LOPACERS, then you can get a $20 discount on your first purchase. Just use the promo code LOPACERS on SeatGeek, the number one ticket aggregating site around.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am your host at the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are proudly brought to you by SeatGeek, as our presenting and only sponsor right now. If you'd like to sponsor us, you can contact me or the podcast through our review page, or me at friedmanadam5@gmail.com. Now, today I'm going to do a Paul George Tradeapalooza podcast. I'm going to go through about the 8 or 10 teams I think he could get traded to, or at least they could put together good enough offers for George. But first, I wanted to start on the note of what Paul George did a couple days ago. I know a lot of Indiana Pacers fans are mad at what he did. He kind of just basically spat in their face and said, "Hey, you thought you were going to bring me back next year and try to convince me to stay, but I'm not going to stay no matter what." Well, one, I have to tell you, he has every right to do it. As a player in the league, he has a right. I mean, he has been a great player. He's put up great years for them, for the Pacers. But at the end of the day, he's got to do what's best for his career. And he thinks L.A. is the best choice for him. Then he's got to do it. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if he goes to L.A., they're going to be just as bad of a team. I know there are rumors out there right now that teams actually want George to go to the Lakers just to see how bad they are. So maybe after next season, he decides, oh, dang, I can't be here and I want to get out of Los Angeles and go to find a better team. Because Paul George has always said he wants to win. I don't know if I believe that anymore, but that's what he's been saying. But he also hasn't been very truthful with the media this whole time. But for today, I'm going to just go through. Basically, there are 8 teams I have written down on a list that we can deep dive into possible trades. Now, some caveats to start this. One, there are some teams that I think would trade for George straight up if they could. But I think because he has 1 year left on his contract, teams have to convince him that he should stay there beyond next year. It means he has to be traded to a contending team right now that can kind of compete. So that eliminates, that takes the bubble of teams that can trade for him to an even smaller bubble of teams that can trade for him and compete for at least the Eastern Conference or Western Conference titles next year. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some 3-team trades. Right now, the obviously number one rumor is Kevin Love for Paul George as a swap to help the Cavs out. That's been the biggest thing going on. But I don't think for the future the Pacers want Kevin Love. To get rid of George, the Pacers probably want to just rebuild their franchise around Miles Turner. I know there's some thought, well, the Pacers never tanked, why would they want to do that? But I think at the end of the day, if you get rid of George, you got to just do a wholesale rebuild. So if they trade for Kevin Love, they want to obviously get a third team involved to get some picks for him. So I got a couple teams on a list that have the assets to trade for a Love or George, don't necessarily have the wherewithal or the good enough team at this moment to convince them to stay, convince George to stay. Now, Kevin Love has 2 years left on his contract, meaning a team might be wanting to give up more assets for him because they know they have him for a little bit longer. So the first team I had on this list was the Suns. The Suns are an interesting team right now because they do have about $15 million in cap space. They obviously can add more cap space if they waive Alex Len. So the first trade I have, I'm just going to go right to it, is I have a Dragan Bender, who who's a power forward last year, number 4 overall pick, a future Miami pick for Kevin Love, who would they then send that stuff to the Pacers, who would then send Paul George to the Cavs in a kind of a three-team trade. Now, why this makes sense for the Pacers? One, you get a future Miami pick, which could be, for all we know, a top pick. It's top 7 protected for a year, but it could be worth, who knows, in 2019. This pick, Miami is okay right now, but we don't know where they're going to be in 3 or 4 years. That pick could definitely material into a top 5 pick maybe someday. Then you bring in Dragan Bender, who's the number 4 pick from last year, which is a young, talented player that could help the Pacers for their future. They do need a power forward for the future. They do have Thaddeus Young right now, but I don't think he's their long-term power forward answer. And Dragan Bender has shown some signs of being a good player, and he could be kind of a superstar. So now, let's go why this makes sense for the Suns. The Suns get Kevin Love. They finally get that superstar they've been looking for. The Suns have been looking for a superstar. They tried to go after LaMarcus Aldridge 2 seasons ago. They want to bring in that big name to get the fan base pumped because they haven't been good in a long time. They came really close 3 or 4 years ago with that Isaiah Thomas, Goran Dragic, Eric Bledsoe combo. But if they brought in Kevin Love, they could pair him with basically with Eric Bledsoe and their young star Devin Booker, and that would be a decent team. I don't know if that gets you into the playoffs in the West, but that 8th spot was only a 35-win team this year in Portland, so it could get you that number 8 spot in the West, which is what I think Phoenix wants right now. Devin Booker could be a superstar someday. He looks really great out there, so who really knows what could happen with that. And then obviously, for Cleveland, getting Paul George is just a win because you make LeBron, PG, and Kyrie your three-headed monster. That might be good enough to beat the Warriors. Who knows? So then, the next team I have on the list is the Nuggets. The Nuggets are another one of these teams looking for a superstar. They've wanted to have that big-name player. They've been searching for one since Carmelo. So for the Nuggets to be able to get the cap space to bring in Love, they're going to have to waive Danilo Gallinari. Basically, they don't have to waive him, but they have what's called these rights when he's a free agent. So it's called a free agent hold. So if you have a player that's under contract the previous season, you have to basically pay 150%, I think, of his salary to be able, like, as a cap hold, so that if you resign him, you can't just like finagle around the cap in a weird way. You know, it's not that complicated, but I don't want to go too deep into it because it's kind of wonky and not that important. You don't understand they have to waive the right to Danilo Gallinari. But if they do this, then they could package, let's say, Gary Harris, Emmanuel Mudiay in their pick this year, which is, I think, the 13th overall pick, in a trade that would send to the Pacers, who would then obviously send Paul George to Cleveland and Love to Denver, giving Denver that superstar they wanted under contract. Which, if you put Kevin Love on that roster, it might not be better than it was last year, but it would still be pretty good. You know, they still have a couple of young players. They have Will Barton, who's been really good. The team would be a pretty decent team. They won 37 games last year. You know, they were kind of this weird, they had no identity kind of team. But if you put Love next to Jokic, you might get a decent roster out of it. And that's a pretty good team, in my opinion. I don't know how great it would be, but that's a team that's competitive. You know, fan base type of thing. Remember, you got to remember with the Nuggets, I don't know if it's about winning a championship, but just making the playoffs the next couple years. You know, they were really close this year. I think they wanted to just be a playoff team and kind of give that fan base some encouragement that it hasn't had in a while. And Nuggets have a lot of players they've drafted over the past few years that are kind of stacked up, and they need to kind of clear out that jam log. So it makes sense. And for the Pacers, again, you get like the 13th overall pick. You get a couple of young players you could turn into something. You bring Garrett Harris back to Indianapolis. I don't know if that makes perfect sense, but these are just some offers that are okay, I guess. But now I want to move into the second part of this, which is get rid of this three-team trade for Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love is the best. The Kevin Love, Paul George swap three-team trade is probably the best chance the Pacers have of getting a really good offer. But in a straight-up trade, they have a chance if they can convince some teams that, hey, you want to give up your best assets. So the first one I want to talk about is the Clippers. This is a really interesting one because Paul George said he wants to go to L.A., but he didn't specify where. So we saw this a few years ago when Chris Paul basically got traded to the Lakers, then vetoed and whatnot, and then brought back, and then got brought back to the Clippers. If you put Paul George in the Clippers, which is a little bit better team, he might be more inclined to resign there, which could scare the Lakers. Again, some of this is about scaring the Lakers into giving you the assets that you want from them, because the Lakers have the assets to trade for George if they want to, but they're trying not to because they think they can get him in free agency next season. So the Clippers, it would probably involve some kind of sign and trade with Blake Griffin. Now, I don't think Blake Griffin wants to come here. I'm going to be honest. I don't think he wants to come to Indiana. And I'm not sure he moves the needle in any way that Paul George did. But Blake Griffin, when he's healthy, was a pretty good player. He is a pretty good player. So I think he would be pretty good here. The only way you could probably get Blake Griffin to sign and trade with Paul George is if you offer Blake Griffin, get him to sign for that 5-year max, basically. So right now, Blake Griffin's had knee issues, all kinds of things like that over the past years. He had knee, he had broke his hand a few years ago, all kinds of things. And, you know, I'm not sure the Clippers are going to offer him the 5-year, I think that's $180 million maximum contract he can get. But on a sign-in trade, they might be willing to. You know what I mean? The Pacers might want to give Blake that kind of money because it secures him long-term, gives him a future, a star, and helps them sell. It is all depending on the Pacers actually want to rebuild or just want to kind of remain competitive, which it makes sense. And especially in the scheme of things, it puts Paul George in LA, which is where he wants to be. I do think, though, this is probably more of a trade you get, and then you kind of look around and you say, hey, Lakers, Clippers are knocking on our door. We're going to take that trade. And the Lakers say, oh, we can't let Paul George go to the Clippers because they're better than us, and he'll realize he wants to be there because he'll be paired with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. That's a pretty good team, and he'll probably decide, oh, I don't want to, I'll resign with the Clippers and not with the Lakers because they're not very good anyways. It's kind of the same predicament people have been talking about for a while, that free agents want to go to Los Angeles, but wouldn't they rather go to the Clippers and not the Lakers? Because the Clippers are actually a good team. Remember last season, Durant took a meeting with the Clippers, but didn't take a meeting with the Lakers. It's that kind of scenario. Again, it would be another kind of embarrassing moment for the Lakers. I don't think they can afford to keep letting that stuff kind of happen. Now, I got a couple more teams. These are a little more interesting teams. So, the next two are Houston and Portland. So, I'll start first with Houston. Houston, you know, wants to trade for Paul George. If they can get Paul George, they would try to. They're going to try everything they can. The problem is right now is Houston doesn't really have the assets. Houston has basically no cap space, and the only way to get Paul George would be to match his contract with their contracts and give up some kind of players. So what they could do is give up Eric Gordon. Now, I know Eric Gordon isn't kind of going to blow off a roof kind of great player, but he does bring it back to Indianapolis, gives the Pacers another guy to market. They are a big fan of Eric Gordon, I think. I mean, he's an Indianapolis guy. Obviously, that kind of gives him cachet. Eric Gordon's very popular around here. But, you know, he's not anything special. And they don't really have any picks. So what the Rockets probably have to do is package Eric Gordon with Patrick Beverley or Clint Capella, some kind of move like that to open up the cap space while at the same time giving the Pacers enough in return that's like, hey, it's the good assets. Like, Clint Capella's a pretty good player, and so is Patrick Beverley. And I think if Houston could trade Gordon, Beverley, and Capella for George, they would do it. I'm just not sure the Pacers take that offer. And maybe you get Houston to throw in a couple first-rounders in the future, but, I mean, those aren't worth anything. They're 20. They're probably be picking in the 20s. But if George does go to Houston, it is pretty interesting because you do now pair him with James Harden, which is a pretty lethal duo, and that might be better than the Spurs. Maybe not as good as the Warriors, but definitely better than the Spurs. Be interesting to see if they could do that. I think Houston is more like one of the last offers. He gets on the table. It's kind of one of those that you see, you survey the field, get nothing good, then you take Houston's offer because it's better than sending him for nothing, basically. Then, like I said, I was saying Portland. Portland's another team that I think would love to trade and is probably trying right now to get George. The question is, I don't think Portland also has the assets. It would involve some weird contracts and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think they can make it work. It's the same way Houston can. They'd have to give up, like, Evan Turner, or maybe Aminu, and I think they were thinking Harkless. There were some good contracts there, but I just don't see it making sense for the Pacers to trade Paul George for, like, 4 mediocre NBA players that are good players but can't help you build for the future and make you a decent team right now but no better than you are right now. Again, it's also one of those things. I think Portland's kind of in the position where, hey, if you can get nothing better, this is what we'll offer you, you know, if you don't get anything better in the market. Because I think Portland and Houston would be willing to take the one-year rental chance because they think they can re-sign George because they have good enough talent around him. George has said he is about winning. I still don't know if I'd believe that anymore, but he's said he's about winning. And that's why I would ultimately think, if he goes to Portland, that team might be good enough with him, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard. The Pacers could somehow flip McCollum for George. That would be interesting, but I don't think Portland wants to make that kind of trade because McCollum is locked up for four more seasons. That'd be kind of a weird trade, I think, for Portland to make. And with Houston, the same thing. If Houston can pair Harden with George, I think they can win 55. They won 55 games last year. They can win 60 games, and that could kind of convince George, hey, we're a 60-win team. You just stay here. You're better off staying here and going anywhere else. Those are two of the more interesting teams because those are teams that are kind of good right now, don't really have the assets to trade for George, but if he went there, be willing to take the one-year gamble because they're good enough teams that, hey, he could re-sign. The third team that's like that is the Celtics. They're obviously the most interesting one. I'm not going to go into all their picks and all the trades. You know, there's a lot of things they could do. It depends what the Celtics do in free agency, if how they want to trade for George, whether they go after Butler, or they get Hayward in free agency, then they have to match the contracts up, right? But ultimately, if the Celtics want George, they can offer the most and the best thing they can for him. The question is, I'm not sure they want to rent him for a year, but I do think Danny Ainge thinks, hey, I can get George and convince him to stay, which that would be kind of an interesting move. They could do that. But, you know, they have lots of picks, lots of everything. They could easily top any offer if they want George and they give him to stay. I think the best option for them, at least Boston-wise, would be to sign Hayward and then try to match the contract up with the Pacers, right, give him some picks, and get George, bring in a Hayward, George, Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford kind of quartet. That'd be one of the best. I wrote about that for the Indy Cornrows. That'd be a really, really good team right there. So then, there's another team that kind of popped up recently. I've been doing some research this evening, basically, on it. And it was, well, there are two interesting ones I'm going to go with. They're the Mavs, and then they're the Wizards. So the Mavs are an interesting team because the Mavs are another risk-taking team in the NBA that theoretically could want to trade for George, even though he'd be taking a risk that he would leave during one season because they're kind of a risk-taking team. They did the same thing with Rondo a few years ago. They're willing to make that kind of bet. The Mavs did it. They'd have to basically take their pick this year, which is the 9th overall pick, pair it with some kind of contracts, probably Wes Matthews to make it work. There's some other players that could maybe make it work, and pair Harrison Barnes with Paul George, kind of thing. That would be interesting, but I'm not sure that really pushes the Pacers over the edge unless they don't get a better pick offer, because the 9th pick could be the best pick they get offered from any team. And if that's, I mean, I don't know how much you value the 9th, or I think they have a 7th pick, not the 9th pick, excuse me. The 7th pick. No, it's the 9th. My bad, it's the 9th. But if they get the 9th pick, that might be the best pick they can get, but I don't know if it pushes the needle in any direction that they want. Then the Wizards. So the Wizards are going to make a push for Paul George. I'm almost certain of it. But they don't have the assets. Obviously, if the Wizards want to part with Bradley Beal, the Pacers would make that trade, but I don't think the Wizards do. I think they want to pair Wall, Beal, and George together, but they don't really have the assets. They'd have to give up Oubre and Kelly Oubre and Otto Porter and some other contracts to make it work, but I don't think that's a needle-moving thing. It's kind of in the same boat as Houston and Portland, where they're good players but don't help you in the future, and Washington doesn't own any of their picks in the future, so it becomes even more interesting because they don't really can't give up their picks, and the Pacers probably want to accumulate picks. So I just want to recap a little bit of this. So basically what it seemed like to me, the best teams to look at are a three-team trade with Cleveland is probably the best offer the Pacers can get pick-wise, but I'm not sure they'll get that. But then I want to move to the last team, obviously the Lakers. The Lakers are sitting here like, well, we don't want George because we can get him for agency next year. But I think the Pacers can kind of scare their pants off. They if Kevin Pritchard can convince Magic Johnson that, hey, I'm going to send him to Boston, I'm going to send him to Cleveland, I might send him to the Clippers or Houston, one of these good teams, and say, hey, you take your chance. You can get him right now for the 2nd overall pick straight up. That's what they could say. Or you take a chance and say, well, take a chance and get him next year, but maybe he'll be happy in one of those places. And then you might get the Lakers to budge and say, all right, fine, we'll give you the 2nd pick, or we'll give you Brandon Ingram. Probably not Brandon Ingram, but we'll give you the 2nd pick, and we'll give you Julius Randle for Paul George, which I think that's the offer the Pacers would take 9 out of 10 times. Right? Why would they not take a Randle number 2 pick? That's a really good offer for George. It's about what they would have gotten probably before this happened. Maybe they could have got a little bit better, but that's basically what they would have gotten. So I think if they can get the Lakers to budge on the 2nd overall pick and Randle, they would make that kind of trade. Now, I'm going to give out one final wild option that nobody's really been talking about because it's probably too risky and stupid to do. But I'm going to say it anyways because, you know, I'm full of stupid ideas. So, you know, I'm going to say stupid things. What if the Pacers called Paul George's bluff and said, hey, we're going to bring you back next year and we're going to bet because you make an All-NBA team and we get better next year, you can offer you $50 million more and you won't turn it down. I don't know if that would work. Paul George seems hell-bent on going to Los Angeles. But let's say they say, hey, we're going to bring you back, Paul George. And they bring back Jeff Teague and they bring back CJ Miles. And they run this back. And all of a sudden, the Pacers next year, because Paul George is better, they win 45, 50 games. Something breaks their way and they go to the Eastern Conference Finals. That'd be kind of interesting to see if that happened. Because I don't know. You know, George, like I said, has always said he's about winning. But if the Pacers go to the Eastern Conference Finals and let's say they take the Cavs to 7 games, would George leave? Would he say, well, you're not winning enough? But then if we did that, why would going to Los Angeles make sense? It wouldn't. So it would be kind of a thing when the Pacers say, hey, you're about winning. We're going to try to put the best roster around you next season. If we win 50 games and make the Eastern Conference Finals, we think you should stay. And then if George leaves for LA still, he might get kind of vindicated in the press, kind of lambasted and stuff like that. An interesting thought. I don't think it'll happen. I think the Pacers can't risk that because you can't just let Paul George walk next season and without anything because that basically sets your franchise back 10 years. So that was this podcast today. That's it for I Have. That's all I have for now. It's just some thoughts. I'm probably going to do a podcast every day this week until George is traded. I do think he'll be traded in the next 2 or 3 days, if not no later than on draft day. I think they're going to move fast and quick. There might not be some official trade. I think they might have an offer. They're going to have offers probably throughout the week. I do think, though, the Pacers will get a decent offer for George. Better than it looked late Sunday night when everybody thought, oh, they're going to get nothing for him. LA's going to steal him. I do think teams are going to take a chance and say, hey, we can bring him in, convince him to stay, because Paul George is a really good player, and if they can convince him to stay where they are, that would be a big deal. So, just something to look out for. Obviously, like I said, I'm going to do probably a podcast every day this week. You can tune in for that. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Remember to subscribe to us on the NBA Locked On channel on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And I'm going to do a last little thing. If you would like to buy an ad on this podcast, I know we've just kind of peaking in our viewership. We're just starting to get up to where our highest levels could be. Feel free to contact us through our page by commenting, leaving comments, whatever. Everybody else leave comments too. Let me know how we're doing. This one I know is a little difficult. I was doing it solo, kind of talking to myself. But, you know, I do think there's some interesting facts I put out here. But, yes, so contact me at friedmanadam5@gmail.com if you'd like to advertise for this podcast, something like that. Send all your comments to that email if you would like. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and hopefully I can talk to you later this week.